Please turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Last month, we talked about the ordinance of the bread and the cup being a covenantal meal. We've been going through the different titles, different ways the New Testament describes this ordinance of the bread and the cup. And so last month, we looked at how this ordinance is described as the Lord's Supper, where emphasis is given to this ordinance as a memorial of our redemption. And at this Lord's Day, I'd like us to take some time to consider that this ordinance is also occasionally referred to as the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. So to break bread is an archaic way of describing sharing a meal. I think we all know that, right? You break bread with somebody, that's just an expression, or at least used to be, for describing sharing a meal with somebody. But sharing a meal itself with someone is really a timeless way of representing fellowship, intimate fellowship with another, peace, you could even say. Luke chapter 22, in verse 19, here's the context of Jesus with his disciples in the upper room. And we read, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The fact Jesus broke bread here suggests that this was unleavened bread, which he and his disciples were eating this Last Supper. And that's significant because leaven often served as a picture of sin in the Old Testament. And the lack of leaven, unleavened bread, bread without any leaven in it, represented then the sinless sacrifice that God would provide, the sinless Son of God, ultimately, who would give himself to be broken for our sins in our place. And apparently Jesus' manner of breaking bread was something which his disciples would never forget. There are other times in Scripture where we read about Jesus breaking bread, like when he fed the 5,000, and here at the Last Supper, and likely many other times, but turn over a couple chapters to Luke 24. Luke 24, and look with me at verse 28. This is on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has met a couple of his disciples, and they are not aware that this is Jesus, but as they approached the village, we read where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther, it's Christ, they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." He went in to stay with them. When he reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So these disciples rejoice, and they gather together then with the 11 disciples and share the report that Jesus has risen. Look down at verse 35. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. What's interesting here, and has always grabbed my attention, is how these two disciples recognize Jesus the moment he breaks bread. Apparently Jesus just had a trademark way of doing this. And yet, unlike Luke 22:19 that we just looked at, the breaking of bread here in Luke 24 is not involving this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This here in Luke 24 is just simply describing Jesus sharing a meal with a couple of disciples. And you're going to see this moving forward in the church's history, that breaking bread will become synonymous with the actual ordinance of the bread and the cup. Let's go over to Acts 2 and verse 42. Acts 2, and this is Luke's sequel to his gospel, and he writes, "Of the earliest Christians living in Jerusalem," in verse 42, "they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Verse 46, we read, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." We'll have some scholars who say that The breaking of bread in Acts is always only describing the Lord's Supper. Others will disagree and say that this is simply describing the act of sharing a meal together. But as Acts 2:46 seems to indicate, I just read that, I don't think we have to choose between either interpretation here. If there's any confusion, if there's any ambiguity as to what Luke is referring to here, the Lord's Supper or sharing a meal, that is because the Lord's Supper was held along with sharing a meal together. You know, that's precisely what Paul indicates in 1 Corinthians 11. In verses 17 through 22, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul reflects on the fact that the Corinthians are sharing a meal, and he, at the time they are holding the Lord's Supper, and he scolds them for getting carried away with the meal aspect of their gathering, while they had at the same time neglected respect for this ordinance of the bread and the cup. I just bring that to your attention to say that when the church came together to break bread, they were observing the Lord's table. But when they came together to do so, they were also sharing a meal. And that practice of sharing a meal is rich with symbolism throughout the entire Bible. It's really, we could say, an expression of goodwill, which all cultures can relate to. Sharing a meal represents fellowship, peace with one another. It's one of the most intimate things you can do with a stranger or with somebody who's not a part of your family. In Revelation 3:20, Christ uses the analogy of eating with one another, sharing a meal, to describe the special fellowship he shares exclusively with those of his own. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." I could share many other scriptures. I think of ultimately the fact that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you look forward to that great reunion with our Lord, which is said to commence with a meal, the marriage supper of the Lamb. This marriage supper of the Lamb represents this commencement of a new age of fellowship, intimate fellowship with our Lord. So as we come to the ordinance this morning, the bread and the cup, what should be our response this Lord's Day? Well, I think as we reflect on the fact that this is the breaking of bread, this ordinance is referred to as the breaking of bread in Scripture, we are reminded that this is a time to share in fellowship with our Lord and with His people. We are to enjoy fellowship with Christ and His people. And I'll just add, in some denominations, you might get the idea that this ordinance is strictly a private matter, like between us and God. We might come here and this is a solemn assembly, but we might think, you know, I'm just going to sit here, not say anything to anybody, not share anything. I'm just going to partake of the bread and the cup and think about Christ's sacrifice. Well, that is one aspect of what it is we're doing here. But I think you see the fact that this ordinance is referred to as the breaking of bread reflects the fact that this is a time to share with one another what Christ has done for us. It's a time of sharing and enjoying one another's fellowship.